is Brian Madden. For Monday, April 24th, 2006, you're listening to Brian Madden Live. On today's show, I'm pleased to welcome David Greshler. He's one of the co-founders of Softricity. Softricity just today is announcing version 4 of their product. We're going to talk with David today about the product, about Softricity's vision, about the difference between application virtualization and application streaming, talk about Citrix and what Citrix is doing in the space, and where Softricity is headed. David, thanks so much for joining me today.
Great. Well, good to be here.
And let me ask you first. So I know that Softricity, it seems like, is getting more and more popular, and more people are talking about application virtualization and streaming and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if you can just kind of start off and just start from the beginning from a technology standpoint. If you can explain real quick, what is Softricity or what does Softricity do?
Sure. No, that's great, Brian. I always like to remind people at the beginning that our name is our vision, right? The merging of the word software with electricity. And our belief is that you should be able to get to your software as easily as you plug into electricity today. You fully expect to go to any machine on the network, log into Google and get to Google. But why isn't that possible with your software? Well, there's really two reasons, and that's what app virtualization and streaming technology is all about. Let's start with the first reason. Software gets installed, right? And when software installs itself, it permanently alters the machine that it's been installed to. And in fact, one of the big problems, as I'm sure your audience knows, is it's all very fine and well if you're just going to install one piece of software, but no one just runs one application. They run multiple applications. And when you run multiple applications, you run the risk that configurations such as DLLs, the registry, COM, DCOM, INI files, the fonts, I mean, there's a lot more as well, can overwrite other configurations that have already been put down by an earlier app. And as a result, you're going to break that earlier app. Plus, installing configurations to machines is just a bad idea in the first place. The more you install, the slower your machine gets. So the best of all possible worlds would be that applications should never touch the operating system. And that's what we've done with application virtualization. Not unlike machine virtualization, right, where an operating system thinks it's installing to an actual physical piece of hardware when in fact it's installing to a virtual layer. What Softricity does is make it so that when an application installs, it installs in its own virtual environment. It doesn't put those configurations down at all to the operating system. So what does this mean? Well, it means that now you can roll out an app without having to test it against all your other apps. It means that you can, run any app side by side without concern for any conflict. And it means that you can leave your machines clean. In fact, one of our customers, to pick up on the Softricity metaphor, said, what I've done is turned my desktops into light bulbs because all I give people is a Windows operating system and a SoftGrid client. Anybody can log into any machine. They get their apps. And if that machine has a failure, a hardware failure, I just unscrew that machine like a light bulb and pop a new one in. So virtualization, again, it's all about separating applications from the operating systems. And yet, let me be clear, this is not a closed bubble where that app can't communicate with the operating system or the applications. They absolutely can read and write from the operating system, but they can read and read from the operating system, but they don't write to the operating system, and that's the key difference. So they can communicate with each other, they can see printers, they can see drivers, they can see network, everything, but they leave that operating system clean. So that's installation, and we just get rid of that. We combine it with another technology, and often sometimes people mix up these two, but they're very separate, but we're the only ones that really pull them together, and that's software streaming. And what's that idea? Well, there's a remote electronic software distribution model that pushes an entire app over the network and then remotely installs it. We're very different than that. What we do is make it so that when you go into a machine and you double-click on an icon, it pulls down just the portion of the app that you need to get up and running. And as you use more and more of that app, more and more of it comes down. It's really page memory. And of course, when it's running, it's in the virtual environment. So it's not unlike, you know, watching a video buffer, except that, of course, it's more active than reactive, in the sense that you don't just sit in the background and have the entire app come down. It only brings down what you need. So when you combine virtualization with streaming, what you get is Softricity, right? The ability to log on to any machine and be able to, in real time, get to your applications, but when you run them, they're not dependent on the machine you're running them on, and you're not going to leave a trail behind with those applications. And so just tying that all together, what we do is we tie it completely together with policy-based management. So we tie things into Active Directory and other types of directory services. So you know, the result is that I, as IT, have a new employee. All I do is drop a machine in front of that person with Windows and the SoftGrid client. They log in, pass their credentials. I've added them to, say, the finance group, and it checks and says, oh, there's that person. He's in the finance group. There are his apps. So he can go anywhere in the network and get access to his apps.
Okay, and so I think the management we should come back to
Yep. And
talk a little bit more, but I wonder if we can dig a little bit deeper into the virtualization. So, because I think a lot of people hear that, and then the next question is, okay, so how does it work?
Yep. No, absolutely. That's a good question. So there's a lot of the use of the word virtualization out there these days, both at the machine level and the app level. And just to be very clear, Softricity does it in a very unique way. That's very different than how some other folks do it out there. What we do is we completely virtualize that app, right? We make it so that, like I said, the DLLs, COM, DCOM, any other components are in this virtual layer. When the application is running on that operating system, you know, think of it as almost like a transparency, if you think of the registry. It's looking at this in a transparency where it has settings and that have been written to its virtual registry, and yet it can look out and actually retrieve settings that are on the operating system's registry. But when it tries to write settings, like turn off spell checker in Microsoft Word, right, that will get written to the virtual registry, not the actual registry. And in fact, those preferences, user preferences, will roam with you if you decide to log on to another machine. So our virtualization is app-based and it's user-based. So no matter where you go, the virtualization follows you.
So the Softricity virtualization is actually, I guess, technically performed by an agent or something. So you have a vanilla Windows PC, then you install a Softricity client on there, which acts as sort of the shiv in between the applications and the operating system.
Yeah, it actually is a little different because, you know, some other folks do sort of this file driver filter stuff. We don't do that, right? What we're doing is we have our own separate file system, right? And each app takes its own instance of that and runs, right? So what the client does is effectively manage the interactions between the server and the client so that when the application runs down and runs in its virtual environment, each one of those apps has its own virtual environment.
And so that's what allows you to virtualize, I guess, COM objects or just registry settings, right? And
not just
files.
Yeah, you got it, right? Because a lot of these guys can just do, file and registry. We can do a lot more. In fact, I mean, just since, you know, I know we're going to talk about 4.0, one of the great things we put into 4.0 is virtualizing Windows services.
Okay, so let's actually do that. Let's talk about 4.0, and then we'll come back and look at the technology a little bit more, because today you're announcing version 4.0 of your product. So I wonder if you can just kind of give us a quick overview of, from the technology standpoint, what's new in 4.0?
Sure. And let's start with the virtualization, because I think that's an important place to begin. Right? What we've done with the virtualization is first made it more comprehensive. We've added things like virtual services. We've also looked at issues around preferences, and we've virtualized the transactional user preferences so that you can actually roam between devices and still get exactly the preferences you've set for each of those apps.
What do you mean transactional user preferences?
Let's give you a really simple example, right? You're running PageMaker and you set the toolbars in a nice, you know, my designer has a very, unique way that he sets out his toolbars, right, so that he can access them. When you quit, right, in a normally installed environment and then you go back, those preferences are all saved, right? But if you're going to move to another machine, those are separate entity pieces that need to travel with you, not unlike roaming profiles in some ways. So what we've done is we've broken those out so that you can manage those much better. So no matter what machine you go to, you're going to see those toolbars laid out in exactly the same way. The other thing we did, which is a really neat thing, is we've made it so that, you know, there are a lot of apps that require you run them in administrative mode. Visualstudio.net is one of those examples. We're very popular with universities, and universities don't like the idea of giving their students administrative mode for obvious reasons. What you can do with Softricity now is with those type of applications, you can actually package them in administrative mode, but then you can run them in user mode. So it gives you that certain level of protection there. So that's another piece that we've worked on with the virtualization. But that's just sort of the engine itself. The other piece we did, and this is really speaks to making it easy to roll out Softricity, is the packaging engine we have. We call it the sequencer. And what we've done is made it just dramatically easier and faster to sequence an application. The easier part is we actually rewrote the entire sequencer and made the front-end user interface a lot more intuitive and a lot simpler and a lot more intelligent. So it figures out things like file type associations, and it automatically reads them in and outputs them when you run that app on that machine. But secondly, we also speeded it up. I'll just give you an example. I assume many of your listeners are familiar with Cerner, the leading hospital management software out there. We're a partner with them. And so they have an application called Cerner Millennium. It's 1.5 gigabytes, right? It's actually made up of 55 applications. And previously, when they used to sequence this before, it would take them 4-6 hours. In fact, when they had to package it, it would take them even longer. With the new sequencer, 4.0, it takes them less than 60 minutes. So, you know, we've built a number of steps, a way so you can script batch processing of virtualization, and just the virtualization process itself, that just speeds everything up.
And so this whole sequencing process, this is the one-time-only sort of thing per application. So, because I guess a lot of people would use Softricity if they have, let's say, I don't know, a huge enterprise and they've got 1,000 applications. And so maybe they were using something like Citrix or SMS before to package some applications and push some out to provide some via server-based computing. But I guess ultimately you want to use something like Softricity so that you can provide the applications to the users on the desktop or the server or wherever they need to go. But I guess the pain factor is that you have to go through all the applications one by one by one and package them or sequence them in order to run in the Softricity environment.
You got it. And you know, one of the real benefits of sequencing is the fact that you know, whether you're going to deploy it via SMS or down to the desktop or to a terminal server, doesn't matter. That one package will both work in both environments.
So
in fact, you know, we have this zero-touch front end that can intelligently figure out, you know, the bandwidth you have at the time. And based on the bandwidth, you can set a rule. If they're under a certain, you know, let's say they're on a dial-up 56K, route it to a Citrix server. If they're over 56K, route it directly to the desktop. But you're going to use the same package. We've been calling this lately an application image, right? It's a runtime application image that gets outputted from the sequencer.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Zero Touch, because that's something that, I mean, I've seen the video you guys have on your website, which is pretty cool, but I wonder if you can just kind of talk through, I mean, Zero Touch, that's not a product, right? That's more of a concept?
No, Zero Touch is a product that you buy separately, and it works with SoftGrid, right? And it's really made up of three components. One, it gives you a web front end to your applications. So if you're in the finance group and you have the right to 5 applications, right? If you're inside the network and you log in to a standard Windows machine, you'll see those icons on your desktop. But if you're outside the network and you want to log in, you can log in through this web front end, and what you'll see are the same 5 apps on that web page, right? So that's the first
thing. And this web front end is a Zero Touch, a Softricity Zero Touch web application that's running?
Yes, it's we call it Zero Touch. I mean, it's your standard, you know, web. In fact, you can take it and modify it and, you know, create your own skin around it and do whatever you will, right? It's not a standalone application. It's just a way to access it
right.
through the web.
Like what Web Interface does for Citrix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But here's the difference, right? That's all that does, right? This is what we do, right? That was the first step. The other thing you can do is you can dynamically determine the best way to deliver those apps that you see on that web page, right? So like I said before, and you can set rules about each app. Let's say you've got an application that if you believe you're dialing in over 100K, you want to stream it down. But if it's under 100K, let's route it to a Citrix server and then project it onto that screen. You can set rules on the back end because when you log into Zero Touch, it sends information about the IP you're on, the device you're on, the bandwidth you have, and a whole bunch of other things like time and so on. And it can you can set up rules to figure out the best way to present those applications to you given your current situation. So if I go and visit my friend who has a Mac, well, my only situation is that I can, you know, run everything through a terminal server, right? But if I'm in a high bandwidth environment, it might make more sense for all those apps to be streamed down to me. So it's kind of this intelligent delivery in real time based on your current situation. What's the best way I can give you Softricity?
And so that integrates with Citrix if you're using Citrix, so it can pass it through to use Presentation Server or ICA to deliver applications?
Citrix, Terminal Services, whatever you want, yeah.
Okay, so I hit the web interface, or I hit the Softricity Zero Touch portal, and then, so from the user, I guess I see an application for whatever, Outlook, and mm-hmm. I just click that, I see that icon for Outlook, I click on Outlook icon, and then I don't really have to know, like the system automatically figures out whether I should just be connected to an ICA Citrix published application of Outlook, or whether it should stream it down to my client and then actually execute it locally.
You got it, Brian. In fact, you know, I mean, this is ironic coming from a marketing guy, but, you know, our goal for end users is they should never know about Softricity. If we've done our job right, they should never know about Softricity. The apps just work, and that's all people want.
So
right?
you don't have like 47 splash screens?
No. Well, like I said, you can actually even take the Zero Touch and modify the skin. You can skin it to your portal.
Oh, that's good. So that way people don't blame you when it breaks.
Yeah, how'd you guess? Good strategy. But there's a third piece to Zero Touch, which is probably the coolest, right? So it's called self-provisioning, and here's how it works. Your boss has told you, I want this report, and I want you to do this Visio document or whatever. And your boss leaves, and of course, it's Friday afternoon, as it is today. And IT has inexplicably left the building, so you don't have Visio. What are you going to do? Well, with Zero Touch, you can actually go to this page that lists out all the software assets in your company, and there's Visio. And if you've been given the right to self-provision, you can literally just click a button, and all of a sudden Visio will show up on that web page, and you can click on it, and it will begin running, right, immediately. And what's important about that, especially, you know, if you're going to run it locally, is that because it's virtualized, it won't break the machine that you're running on, right? So it's safe self-provisioning. Now, we have another component in there so that, you know, people just can't self-provision themselves with hundreds of apps. There's also a workflow component. So, you know, if you haven't been given the right to just activate things immediately, you can also just click and it puts in a request to you know, whoever, your boss, the IT, and they get an email and they can just with one click within that email approve or deny your request.
Oh, that's cool, because I used to work on the help desk and one of the types of help desk tickets we got was four requests for new applications.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be, and then we have to assign a desktop support engineer to go out there and install it and purchase it and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, test, purchase, license. Yeah, so this gives you that ability. And, you know, that's why, I mean, we announced Zero Touch last year. We have sold a lot of copies of it. I mean, there's a tremendous interest around there. Because what it does is it's saying, okay, you've got this engine called SoftGrid, which is, you know, turning software into an on-demand service, plain and simple, right? So what does that mean? I mean, now you start thinking about that. It gives you all this flexibility around self-provisioning, availability anywhere, you know, but you have to think a lot about that end user. Where are they going to be at that moment? What, you know, what kind of device are they on? What kind of network are they on? What kind of apps are they going to want to run? And what you want to do is make sure that they get what they need in real time. That's where I think, you know, IT should be.
And so in the scenario you described from a technical standpoint, so if the user who's using their laptop or whatever and they can self-provision, so they would already have the SoftGrid client agent running on their device, and that's what then allows these Softricity packages to be streamed down to them and allows them to run kind of in their own bubble or whatever you would call it and not conflict with anything else.
Yeah, and Zero Touch will detect if you don't, and it'll bring it down. So, you know, it'll know. And if it determines, ooh, I need to run this through Citrix. It'll also detect that and, you know, make sure you have the client.
And so one thing also about software today that I think is very interesting, and I think it's been maybe a year and a half since you've supported offline use.
Yes.
Because that to me, I mean, server-based computing, of course, is a technology area I've been working in for a long time, but where it always falls down for offline users.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny. So in our company, you know, we have 4 employees, and we don't actually even use Citrix internally. Well, that's not true. We use the Citrix Access Gateway, but we don't use Presentation Server because we have no office. We all use laptops, and we're always working on airplanes or the airport or conference or wherever. So we can't use Presentation Server because we don't have ever, you know, always have the connections. And I think that's a lot of companies that they've been able to use Presentation Server for, you know, 90% of their users, but they always have to have some way to manage the users who use laptops who go offline.
Yeah, no, I think you bring out a good point. And, you know, that's sometimes people sort of say, oh, you guys are like Citrix. We're not. You know, we're really a different use case. I mean, you know, if you look at our desktop deployments, they're not out there necessarily replacing Citrix. They're solving a very different problem for a different group of users. So disconnected, I think you've pointed out, is a very good example of that. You know, in fact, with 4.0, we've added and we've bolstered the functionality for disconnected users in 2 ways. We've made it now so that IT can actually choose to pre-cache somebody with 100% of an application remotely. You know, centrally, they can decide, okay, that person should get these apps pre-cached 100% so they can disconnect.
And by pre-cached, you mean the Softricity packages are then sort of pre-streamed and resting on the user's laptop already so that when they want to use it, it does not matter if they're connected or not.
Yes, exactly. And we've made it so that end users can, in the toolbar, request to work offline by just clicking Work Offline, and then in the background, 100% of all the apps they have the right to are brought down.
Oh, okay, so maybe it would tell them, like, please wait while we're synchronizing or whatever, and then, okay, you're good to go. Go ahead and unplug.
Yeah, you actually see this loading icon showing up in the upper right so that you know you've loaded 100% of everything.
Well, and now the whole Citrix thing with, because you talk about Citrix and people ask if you compete with Citrix, and
yeah.
I would imagine that most of your people who use it, I mean, this is a great complement to Citrix, even if you're using pure server-based computing.
Yeah.
Because if you use Softricity, you can use it to stream the applications to your actual Citrix servers.
Yes, exactly. So then that's really where we started, right? Because we knew there was a lot of pain on Citrix servers around app conflict, installation, uninstallation, and testing. And so what we said is, wow, this technology could be great there, right? Because what you do is you just take all your apps off your Citrix servers, right? You put them on the SoftGrid server, and now you feed them to these Citrix servers, you know, as virtualized on-demand applications. So now you can run any app on any server side by side. And it meant for a lot of our customers, they were able to reduce the number of servers they had because they didn't have to have silos anymore. And it meant that they didn't have to bring servers down when you would deploy a new application, right? Because you just add it to the SoftGrid server and all of a sudden it was available.
And so,
or if you wanted to update them.
And so in this case, the SoftGrid client agent that does this virtualization is then running on your Citrix presentation servers.
Yes.
And then
exactly.
So the user, so then the Citrix administrator publishes these applications just like regular Citrix applications, and they're available via web interface and via, I don't know, program neighborhood and all the stuff that just like regular Citrix apps, right?
You got it. Yep. And it's, you know, in fact, we have a separate CAL. If you just want to run SoftGrid on, you know, terminal servers, you can buy the separate CAL that just supports you in that area.
And then but as you said before, one of the sort of powerful things is that when you sequence an application to bring it into the SoftGrid environment, that same package you create is valid sort of anywhere. So I guess that if you're using SoftGrid right now to just remove silos and run all your applications on all your Citrix servers, that's cool, but the same packages you use, you could buy the end user license and then within, what, a couple clicks, be running those same packages on end user workstations for your offline or traveling users.
Absolutely. Yep, you're right. And that's what a lot of folks do. So they have that flexibility.
Well, so I would imagine that, so like you said, you started out sort of in the Citrix and server-based computing space to kind of remove silos. And I mean, this is something that has not gone unnoticed by Citrix.
Yep.
And of course, with Presentation Server 4, Citrix added the what they call the application isolation environments.
Yeah.
And so, now obviously I know the answer to this question, but so is application isolation environments, is that the Softricity kind of killer for Citrix, or do people still need Softricity. I mean, are these, I guess, first of all, is it the same technology? What Citrix is doing with AIE, is that what Softricity is doing? Or is it just the same marketing but different technology, or what?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great first way to answer that, and I think there are, you know, two pieces to answer. The first thing is it's a totally different technology. I mean, if you know, and I'm sure your folks are familiar with AIE, it isolates, but it still writes those configurations to the operating system, right? So you're still altering the operating system. These applications are not portable runtime images. They're just being sort of redirected. And of course, they only deal with certain parts of redirection. Certain parts don't get dealt with, so you're still, you know, there's still potentially, you may not, you know, resolve all the issues that you're dealing with. So, you know, is it a great way to fix certain problems in the situation? I think so, and I think it's a good thing. It's just, you know, increased awareness about the fact that these problems do exist, and I think it's great that Citrix built a solution to help fix some of those problems. But it's not what we do, right? And, you know, it's just it's a little bit of apples and oranges. And interestingly enough, we've sold more of our terminal server product after 4.0 came out than before, because I think what happened was it legitimized the problems that existed out there, and people recognized that there were a couple ways to fix it. And depending on the kind of issues you would run into, you know, you might end up deciding that, in fact, you do need Softricity.
And so I guess on the same vein with Citrix, because I definitely like the way you made the distinction about that there's two sets of technologies. One is the virtualization of the applications, and then the other one is the streaming of delivering these application packages to the clients. And so the application isolation environments from Citrix has sort of has Citrix's version of addressing the virtualization, and now Citrix is talking about Project Tarpon. And so, like at Bri Forum last week, Citrix gave a demo of Project Tarpon and said, this is our solution for streaming applications to desktops and to servers and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I wonder, I mean, I recognize that Project Tarpon is not real yet. I mean, it's just kind of demo or you know, beta technology stuff from Citrix, but so what's that mean for Citrix sort of entering now the virtualization and the streaming space?
Yeah, and I guess the desktop space. Well, you know, I've never seen Tarpon, but, you know, the only way I learned about it was actually reading about it on your website after you saw it. And I thought did a tremendous review of the differences. I remember you started by saying, oh, I thought that was it for Softricity. But by the end of what you saw, you realized it wasn't. So, you know, I guess, you know, what I'm... You know, I'm learning from you in this way, and, you know, based on, I think, the points you made in the article that you wrote around the network protocol being SMB, around the fact that it's AIE and not, you know, truly virtualizing it, you know, I think the market will see the differences, and I think they'll see where potentially there might be some uses for this, but it's not going to be solving the kind of problems that I think that, you know, we provide with our platform around, you know, truly building portable runtime images of applications that can be run anywhere with your preferences, you know, that follow you. I mean, the idea of Softricity. There's a lot there that you know, that's one of the things about 4.0, right? I mean, it's been built on over 500 customers really using this product. I mean, most of our customers are over 1,000 users, right? They have virtualized over 20,000 applications. And we've been at this since 1999. There's a lot of detail that has to get done to make, you know, the vision of Softricity a reality. And with 4.0, it's there, right? So I think that, you know, it's a matter of, you know, look. I mean, it's hard to talk about it because I've never seen it. So I obviously can't compare. It wouldn't be fair to them to compare.
Well, so what
but just based on what I read that you said, you know, it leads me to think that it's a little bit of an apples and oranges comparison.
Well, so what about looking at Softricity versus, or maybe not even versus is the right word, but kind of comparing that to the whole concept of server-based computing in general? So I'm not talking about Citrix. I'm talking about all the terminal servers, Citrix, you know, Ericom, Jetro platforms, all these sort of things combined. Because server-based computing is about providing access to applications.
Yep.
And so I think the reason server-based computing is popular is because for these fat Windows 32-bit applications, you know, server-based computing was kind of the best way that we had as the industry in order to do this.
Yep.
Well, now if Softricity allows me to sequence an application and bring the application into my Softricity environment and now run the Softricity agent from desktops and offline, online, everything, why would anyone go with a traditional serverless computing solution as opposed to just using pure Softricity for everything?
Sure. Well, I think, I mean, again, Softricity encompasses server-based computing, right? And, you know, our view of the world is that there will always be a need for applications to sometimes run on servers, sometimes run on your desktop, right? And it all depends on where you are in that moment. And so, like I talked about before, you might be on somebody's Mac and you want to run a Windows app. You might be on a very low-end connection. You might, as a lot of our hospitals insist, you want to keep everything in the data center because you don't want personal data floating around the network, right? So server-based computing, I believe, will always have a role. Terminal services will always have a role. And it's a matter of, I think up to now, there's always been this sort of divide. Like people have said, well, there's server-based computing and there's desktop computing. And it's like the two don't speak to each other and they're not connected to each other. Well, they are. It's really about thinking about it in a mixed fashion. In some situations, those apps should run locally. In some situations, they should run remotely. And it's about creating, and that's what Zero Touch is all about, by the way, creating, if you will, an orchestrator that is able in real time to figure out the best way and the best mix of applications, remote and local. And that's, you know, you referred to that video we built about 6 months ago called The Soft Grid. And to get to it, it's, you know, softricity.com/The Soft Grid.
I'll post a link to that in the program notes here.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, the ending, right? So we went from, like, the history of computing and how everything was centralized, right, to the PC where everything was chaotic because it's decentralized, right, to what we were thinking around virtualizing apps, right, and then we talk about Zero Touch. And then we spent the last 2 minutes talking about what we think the future is, right? And that's what we really think the soft grid is, right? And that's, you know, it's the server stuff and the client stuff, it's all going to be dynamic, pulled together in real time, and the end user isn't going to know, and they're not going to care, right? But I really believe that the balance is between centralized remote computing and decentralized computing, and it's, you know, it all depends on where you are at that moment.
And you talked about 4.0, version 4.0 of SoftGrid, kind of furthering the realization of that vision and tying in management and that kind of stuff. So what else is kind of new in 4.0? I mean, when you say 4.0 helps realize that, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, what we think, I mean, just to give you a little context, right, we think that app machine virtualization has really set the stage for app virtualization just because, first and foremost, people, get the idea of virtualization now, right? So when you talk about app virtualization, it's not that hard for them to believe that, yeah, software, I guess, doesn't have to be installed. It's kind of just a conceptual jump that they've now got, right? But what we believe is that there's really going to be a mainstreaming of application virtualization happening in the next year, no doubt about it. And so the real question becomes, how can we make a product that is incredibly easy to use so that when that mainstream enters the market, it's not going to be hard for them to do that. So we'd already talked about the virtualization engine, the sequencing, rewrote the front end, made it much easier and much faster to virtualize. On the back end, though, the management of it is equally important. So we've actually added a couple really compelling features. One is what we call remote help. You can now, as an IT administrator, from any machine, connect to a SoftGrid client and connect to the SoftGrid console and be able to remotely control people's SoftGrid environment. So if someone's calling and they're saying, oh, I don't know, my app isn't working, and as you know, right, 50% of that, if you were in help desk, you definitely know this, 50% of it is like they hit a menu bar and the menu bar hit and now they think the app's broken. It's all just a user interface error, right? This way you can just go in, you can literally flush an app from the cache, restream it, and now they've got a nice, fresh, golden image, right? So there's a lot more remote management, centralized management with 4.0. Another piece we did is active upgrades, and this especially applies to the terminal services environment. What's great about Softricity, right, is that you've got, Microsoft Word, and you're going to apply a security patch to it. You don't have to resequence the app if you do that. All you have to do is actually open up the sequencing, apply the security patch, close the sequencing, move that file over to the server, and now the next time everybody logs in, they're fully updated, right? One of the earlier versions we had was you did that, right? You placed that new file on the server, and everybody who was connected to the old version got disconnected, right? We're all about keeping, whether it's a desktop or terminal servers, running 24/7, right? We never want any downtime. That's one of our value props, and that was an area where we had a little bit of a downtime. So with Active Upgrade, you can now roll out this new version. The people who are connected to the slightly earlier version stay connected. When they quit and then they start up their app again, it reroutes them to the new version. So it's a real seamless way to keep people connected and keep availability at 24/7.
And does the sequencer facilitate the ease of applying patches to software?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's now been developed so that you literally, I mean, you have two routes, right? One is create a new sequence. The other is open up an existing sequence. And it's got a whole interface to allow you to literally just apply a patch and then put it back onto the server.
And so a lot of people hear about this. You talked about a lot of your customers with over 1,000 users. I mean, is there kind of a sweet spot where Softricity makes sense? Are people using it in small environments, or does it depend on applications?
It's interesting. I mean, there is a whole range of folks using this product, right? Because there might be a small group of people and a small set of apps, but those apps just don't get along. And, so they need to have Softricity to get these apps to work, right? So we do have a small and medium-sized customers absolutely using this. The way we like to look at it, though, is, you know, the more people you have, the more apps you have, and the more change you have, the more you need Softricity, right? Because that's what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, deploying an app, you only do once. Updating an app, you do all the time. But if you look at the time it takes to either deploy or update an app, it's almost the same amount of time because you have to regression test and do all those pieces. So, the real issue is if you've got a lot of change in your environment, you're going to want Softricity.
So if I decide I want it, how much is it going to cost me?
So here's the pricing on it. We have three types of price, and this is good because I want to talk about our SMS product. We have SoftGrid Universal. That gives you the ability to access an app that's streamed from the client down to the server, or from the server down to the client, or from a server to a terminal server where then it's projected to that client, right? So that gives you universal access. That's $200 list. Obviously, larger volumes, discounts apply. If you're just going to use it in a terminal server environment, it's $125 per user, per concurrent user in that situation, because obviously terminal services and Citrix is sort of modeled around a concurrent user model. But then we have a new product that we announced a couple months ago as part of a relationship we announced with Microsoft, and that's SoftGrid for SMS. Now, we have two versions of that. One is SoftGrid for SMS Universal, and what that is the ability to run SoftGrid within SMS. That means that you're not using a Microsoft Management Console, separate console with SoftGrid. You're using the SMS console, and you're importing within the packaging screen virtualized apps. You can choose to either stream those virtualized apps out, or you can push them out through SMS. And then finally, we also integrated into the asset discovery and metering that's in SMS. Right, so that, to get the full universal, both the streaming and the virtualization, is the same as our universal price. It's $200 per user. But we also announced something very interesting. It's called SoftGrid Virtual Extensions for SMS. And what that is it's a $100 client, and it's just virtualization. So it lets you import virtualized apps into SMS, but then the only way you can get them out is by pushing them out through SMS. So if people don't want to stream, if they don't have a very mobile workforce, they can use this. They can now have virtualization within SMS.
My career started out, I told you, I started on help desk, and then that grew into SMS. And
yeah.
So I was doing SMS architecture and design before I even got into Citrix. And of course, I've always felt that SMS and Citrix were very closely related to each other, because even though the technologies were different, they're both two different ways to get users to access their applications. But all the stuff we did with the SMS installer and the Microsoft and Windows installers and trying to make install routines and all these batch files and looking for this and that, I mean, I would imagine that any SMS admin in the world would just jump at the opportunity to use a Softricity type thing where they know they can just sequence their applications once, and then they can be used basically on any client that's managed by SMS. They can run right there and not have to worry about any kind of conflicts or anything.
You got it. That's exactly what's happening in the field.
And then, of course, you can take those same packages and put them out in your terminal service as well. So
yeah.
That's cool. So let me ask you this. So you guys are up in Boston.
Yeah.
There's a company up there also called Ardence.
Yes.
That does disk level sort of streaming.
Yeah, operating system streaming.
Yeah. Now, I visited Ardence, I don't know, a couple months ago, and I thought that sort of combining Ardence and Softricity would actually be really cool.
Yeah.
That's not a whole conversation I want to get into, but I wonder, do you have any clients who are doing that, or are you guys
talking
to Ardence? Or?
Well, we have a client who's doing that. It's Northeastern University, and they're certainly using Ardence to get out the operating system, and then they use our virtualized apps to get out, you know, to be able to have the applications virtualized so they don't conflict with each other. So yes, I think you're onto something. I mean, whether it's Ardence or somebody else, the idea of delivering the operating system in a Pixie environment and so on makes a lot of sense. I mean, why not apps? Well, if you want to do it with apps, why not the operating system? So yeah, I think what Ardence is doing is certainly a step in that direction.
And so another question I have to ask you, and maybe if you can't answer now, it's fine. But I got an email from David Friedlander. I've sort of known in this industry as an industry analyst with Forrester, who said he's leaving them to go work for a small Boston-based ISV. So would you know anything about that?
Let's see. Well, I saw him down the hall the other minute. So, yeah. No, David Friedlander has joined Softricity. We're really glad to have him here because I think it's, it's going to be great because he's going to help us think through as we move forward and think about where we can apply this technology to other problems and other areas. But I think it's also just a great vote of confidence. Because as you said, I mean, he was always considered one of the leading analysts in the application virtualization and the desktop virtualization space. So it's great to see him and have him on board.
Well, and so it'll be interesting for him. Maybe we should have him on a future show because I'm curious. You know, when you're an analyst, everyone takes everything you say as gold. So it'd be interesting to see what his views are now working in-house somewhere to see how that changes.
Yeah,
stuff,
absolutely.
So I guess final thoughts. Your SoftGrid video kind of shows, I think, the Softricity, the vision of the future. But I wonder if you can just kind of leave some final thoughts about what's next.
What's next? Well, I think we're just at the beginning of this, really. I think that customers are, we learn a lot from our customers. Even that whole, remember I described the sequencing in administrative mode and then running it in user mode? I mean, the first we heard of that was from our customers. So we see customers using this technology in a lot of different ways that gives us a lot of good ideas. And so I think, you're going to see what you saw in that video eventually come true. I mean, I do think that you're going to see us build a much more deeper integration between what's happening on the server and the client. We're just going to make it easy for people to use software. That's what it's all about.
Well, on that note, David, I certainly appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Brian. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
This show is copyright 2006 by The Brian Medden Company. Thanks for listening.